Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
With us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Sweeping Generalizations. We have been at this department many times.
And, you know, I think that there's a certain wonderfulness about sweeping generalizations, and this is one of them.
Well, you know what? They're so all-encompassing that they remove you from the thought process.
Exactly. And yes. and my wife keeps saying to me, your thinking is too simplistic.
Yeah.
You know, what does she mean by that?
Well, it's a nice way of saying you're a dummy.
Yeah, so what is the sweeping generalization that you have for us?
This item came to us from Automotive News. Here's the headline. Dealers fume over plaid ads.
Yeah.
Seems that car dealers in the Denver area are up in arms over a new series of TV ads. The ads are for Auto Nation. You know, Auto Nation is one of those automotive superstores.
Yeah.
And they claim to have low-key, non-haggling salespeople. Well, Auto Nation's ads apparently feature a grossly unfair, in the estimation of the other dealers in the Denver area, stereotype. Two fictitious, high-pressure car salesman, you ready for this? In plaid suits.
Suits, not just plaid pants, entire suits. I mean, what? If you're going to do a sweeping generalization, you've got to exaggerate
a
little bit.
Well, we just wanted to say that we think it's very presumptuous to make that kind of a sweeping generalization, to assume that all car salesmen are a high pressure kind of people,
yeah,
and they dress up in silly looking plaid suits.
No,
we know for a fact that it's mostly just plaid pants that they wear. Not the whole suit. I've never seen anyone in the whole suit. It's mostly just the pants.
I never have. And I think the Denver automobile dealers have every right to be up in arms.
I think so, too.
I do.
If you're up in arms about anything that we've said, or you want to be up in arms, you can call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kate in Las Vegas.
Kate with a K, of course.
Kate with a K.
So what's going on, Kate?
Well, I have a 1995 red Acura Integra, and it's doing something really quirky.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to be about 103 or higher, when I stop at red lights, the car will stop, but then my brakes start slipping, and my foot goes closer and closer and closer to hitting the floor. And I have to take my foot off the brake and sort of let the car lurch forward a little, then catch it, and it'll stop. But then it slips again.
And how long has it been doing this?
Only since it started getting really hot.
Which was February,
1910.
Right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's been about 6 weeks now here.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous, though. I mean, aren't you nervous about this?
Yeah, because, you know, we have lots of traffic here and an awful lot of lights, and they're long, so I'd like to do things.
Well, I mean, how come you didn't bring it somewhere?
Take it somewhere.
I did, and they tell me I'm crazy.
They told you were crazy?
Pretty much. You know, they didn't say it. They gave me the look.
A crazy?
Oh, yeah? What's the look?
You know, the look where they sort of tilt their head at you and say, well, I'm sure it happens, but we don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't sufficiently convincing. What do you do for a living?
I'm a professor.
Of what?
Sociology.
Ah.
Jeez, you should be able to handle this.
You'd think, but I know nothing about cars.
No, but you must know about Neanderthals.
Yeah, I know a lot about people. That's how I knew what the look meant.
Yeah, you know what the look meant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you have to go back and tell them that you're pretty sure.
You're pretty sure. You're almost positive.
You're almost positive, and uh-huh, you've spoken to people who sound like they know what they're talking
about.
And
they're almost positive, too.
That you need a brake master cylinder.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That sounds expensive.
No,
yeah.
No.
It's a few $100.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
nothing. If you're in Las Vegas and you're a sociology professor,
one roll of the dice.
She's probably making 12, 15 grand a year.
Yeah, just about that. And the silly thing is, I studied the sex industry. So the people that I interview and research make more than me. I mean, it's really silly.
You study what industry?
The sex industry.
It's an industry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have legal brothels out here.
No kidding.
No kidding. Yeah. Only place in the country, so it's worth looking at, you know?
Doing any field work, as they say?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, just curious.
No, I mean, it's very, very clear that you need a brake master cylinder.
Okay.
And it was unconscionable of those guys to send you away because, obviously, it's dangerous,
uh-huh,
and the description that you gave leads clearly to a master cylinder.
And isn't Lake Powell near Las Vegas?
I don't know. We have Lake Mead, which is about 40 minutes away.
40 minutes. And what do people do on Lake Mead?
Just try and stay cool. You know, boating, swimming, all that stuff.
Yeah. So it's likely that the guys to whom you took the car could even have a boat.
That's right.
If they had a boat, they'd have to make what?
Boat payments.
Boat payments.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, they could have made a boat payment and saved your life at the same time.
There you go. So this is indeed a threatening kind of problem.
Don't wait.
Do it tomorrow.
Got it.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Kate.
All right. Take care.
How can a mechanic send away a person who complains of a brake problem? The car won't stop. The pedal
goes to
the floor.
Well, it's unconscionable. Brake problems require some kind of repair. Even if you don't know exactly what it is, do something.
Of course.
Because at least you'll be one step closer to figuring it out. And if you do nothing, you can't get any closer.
Yeah. Jeez,
and that's,
come on.
I know. Come on. What does it take? 1-888.
I mean, if we know, they should have known, too.
They should have known, exactly. Car Talk. That's 888.
We hardly know anything.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. This is Rob Romans from Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Rob.
Yeah, I'm a captain out here in the Army.
Fort Sill?
Yeah.
Where's Fort Sill?
Well, you know where Lawton is?
No.
Lawton, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Of course.
Lawton, Fort Sill. It's actually one town now. Lawton got smart and annexed Fort Sill because they figured there was about 20,000 soldiers they could add to their rolls and start getting some decent restaurants out here.
What's up?
Well, let me tell you. I've got a 1989 Chevrolet Suburban. And the reason I'm calling is that my wife's family is coming out here to do the grand tour of the West during the hottest time of year with the highest gas prices. They want to leave from Lawton and drive to the Grand Canyon and go into Colorado and go to Santa Fe and then go down to some caves down in New Mexico, Carlsbad, and then back into Lawton. That's a 5,000-mile round trip.
Is her mother going?
Here's the deal. You hit the nail on the head. 2 years ago, when I was stationed in Germany, I had a 1989 Chevy Suburban. Not the same one, but same model, make, and year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we took a big trip through Austria, France, and down into Italy and Switzerland. And my mother-in-law, bless her heart, never been out on any major trip, started out the trip by saying, "Rob, you're driving too fast." on the Autobahn. And I blew the head gaskets down in Italy. Guys, can you imagine how hard it is to fix a truck in Italy when all you speak is a little Spanglish?
Yeah. Spanglish?
Oh, you must have been there for a month, and I'm amazed that the Italians actually fixed it.
Actually, they didn't. They put it on a flatbed truck and drove it back to Germany.
That was smart. Yeah, so, they knew their limitations.
So I cannot afford to have something bad happen on this trip with my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, their two kids, my brother-in-law, my wife, and my two kids, plus myself.
Oh, how did you get yourself into this, man?
I have no say in any matter. I am the bus driver on this trip.
Rob, you're an officer, man. Take charge.
Yes, in the Army. That don't count for much once I get home.
If they went on their own without you, that would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be a wonderful thing. And if I could get you guys to say something to that effect.
You might have to shoot yourself in the foot.
Do we still do that in the Army? I'm not sure. It was a court-martial offense last time I checked. But
Why not just fake a shot in the foot? Do you know any doctors who would bandage you up?
Actually, there's an Army doctor that lives on our street, and I really wouldn't have to fake it, actually, because they're Army doctors.
I would avoid the trip at all costs. I mean, if they're going to take it, have them take the Suburban at their own peril.
Well, that's the problem. It's that own peril part, because the Suburban that I've got now has an odd problem, and I can't get a straight answer from the dealership or from any of the independents about what's causing it.
Ah, okay, so we're going to get to the technical part of this call now.
The truck hesitates. It kind of, I'll be driving highway speeds, 55 to 65, and it hesitates for absolutely no reason, kind of like a hiccup. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll feel, when you're driving, you'll feel yourself lunge against your seatbelt.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it comes and goes. That's when I'm in overdrive, just regular OD.
Mm-hmm.
If I drop it down to its next gear, that problem seems to go away. The folks at the Chevy dealership told me, it's probably just your fuel filter or your transmission filter. Now, those things are easy to fix. I changed those both out a while ago, and the problem never went away. What do y'all think?
I think you have a sensor problem someplace. I would ask them to put the scanner on this thing. I think you could have a bad crank angle sensor.
Crank angle sensor, okay.
You could have a bad ignition module.
All right.
But to start guessing at this stuff could be costly. You need someone to actually scan these things or begin to test the individual components to see if they measure up.
Now, could it be something as silly as I've just got a bad spark plug?
It could, but it would more likely do it climbing a steep hill.
Yeah, and I don't have too many of those out in Oklahoma.
Well, you may have to wait.
Or on hard acceleration.
Yeah, on hard acceleration. But you're going to have to take it to a shop because this is not something you're going to figure out at the hobby shop.
And you may even have to take it to a dealer.
All right.
Yeah, and maybe they can keep it for like 2 months.
Now, you're not, in other words, this vehicle could put my family in mortal jeopardy. I need to sell it and buy a Yugo.
Hey, Cap, I wish you the very best, and thank God it's you and not me.
Say some novenas for me.
You bet we will.
See you later. See you later,
Thanks
Rob.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks
Good
for
luck.
Calling.
Bye-bye. Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Erin calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Erin.
Erin.
E-R-I-N.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, my question is the classic marital dispute. My husband and I now, I have a Toyota Cressida station wagon, and my husband's car is a BMW 535i, and we're going to be doing the minivan thing pretty soon.
I can tell by the kids.
I see it now.
By the kids I hear in the background.
Yeah. And the question is, whose car do we sell? Because my car has fewer miles on it. It would be less expensive to maintain, and we wouldn't get as much money for it. If we sell his car, then we get more money, and we're left with a car that's got lower mileage and less expensive.
Did you come up with this argument all on your own here?
Yes.
Keeping your car, selling his car?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, how violently opposed to this is he?
He's not violently opposed, but when I said it to him, he said, so then we'd have a station wagon and a minivan, you know? And I realize this is a guy thing, but the other thing is that my husband doesn't drive to work anymore. He just takes the train. So, I mean, I could see if, you know, he was going to be in the car all the time, but we you know, he literally, the BMW is sitting in the garage all the time.
Oh.
So
he doesn't really care.
Well, I mean, he likes his car. A while ago, we had the opportunity to get a Toyota sedan, and we you know, like, supposedly put his car in the market, but he was really, like, half-hearted about it. You know, I got from that he kind of likes his car and doesn't want to sell it.
Yeah, I mean...
And was he the one when he tried to sell it that accompanied all the prospective buyers on the test drive?
Well, he's the one that, you know...
He said, well, don't worry about the fact that, it leaks a lot of oil, but
right,
that's all right.
Exactly.
Burns some oil, or the engine has a wrap in it, and the transmission
kind of
slips, but you'll get a good 6 months out of it.
Exactly, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to say that logic would dictate that you do exactly what you propose because you are the wiser of the two.
Uh-huh.
And you realize you wouldn't get as much money for the Cressida, so why sell it? It's
right.
Got fewer miles.
Right.
Costs you less to fix, but not by much.
Less to fix and all that stuff. On the other hand,
yes.
You are already,
yes.
By buying a minivan,
yes.
Emasculating the poor man to
yes.
The extent that it's inhumane. So the least you can do is forget about the economics for a moment and let the guy keep his BMW.
Well, yeah, I mean, you might as well just buy him some plaid pants.
But what I was thinking is maybe we could get one of these minivans that, you know, had, like, leather seats and...
Oh, yeah, that's going to really do it for him.
No, it's not a good one.
I don't think so. Leather seats. Come on, Erin. The guy's driving a Bimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know.
He likes shifting, too.
Sure. I mean, there's no way to understand what is going to happen when you go into the minivan parallel universe.
Yeah.
If you make him drive either the minivan or the Cressida, you don't know what's going to happen to him.
He will start to slump over.
But see, he doesn't, I mean, he never drives his BMW anymore.
Doesn't
anyway.
Have to, just yeah, the fact that he, I mean, I have a pocket watch that I never wear, but I have it.
Yeah.
I can go and look at it. You don't know it, late at night when you and the kids are asleep, he's in the garage stroking the BMW.
And saying, vroom, vroom, vroom.
No,
and when people at the office say, what do you drive, Bill? He says, I drive a Bimmer. I mean, he's going to have to say, what do you drive, Bill? Cressida.
Yeah.
What was that, Bill?
Town and Country.
So the economic factors are not so overwhelming that it's worth emasculating him, as you say.
I don't.
I would say not.
No. There is no amount of money.
And if you explain, I wouldn't use the term emasculation when you discuss it with him, but I would say, hun, I've thought this over, and although economically it makes sense for us to sell the BMW, I think you, even though you won't admit it, I think you really love the BMW, and I want us to keep it so you will be happy, my love.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's what I would do.
Right, and then if you've really been able, if you've really succeeded in brainwashing him, he will say,
oh, no,
oh hon,
okay.
You know, we really, you're right, we should dump the Bimmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
if you,
old reverse psychology.
If it's worked.
Okay.
You'll be he'll be driving the Cressida and you'll be driving the minivan.
No, he'll, right. You know what he'll say? He'll say, well, hon, I think we should sell the Bimmer, and with the extra money, we'll go down and get that pearl necklace that you've been admiring down there at Swanson Jewelers.
Well, thank you very much for your help.
All righty. Good luck, Aaron.
We love your show.
All righty. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, think hard. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
I don't remember no stinking puzzler.
That's right. There was no puzzler
right?
last week. The puzzler is on summer hiatus. It's out in the Hamptons getting a laser face peel.
How are we going to kill all that time in the second half of the show?
Stay tuned and I'll show you how a real pro does it. We'll be back in just a minute.
Okay. You take the dog, I'll take the Galaxy 500. You get the cat, I get the cats you don't want anymore. You take the fish, I'll take a bowl. You take the dishes while you're at it, take my soul. But things ain't so bad, cause I've got a Galaxy 500.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the ultimate boat payment.
Well, I
little
see,
news item.
You've been doing something wrong. You don't have it right. Here's a note from Lois Wade from Hackletown, New Jersey. It says, talk about your boat payments. This guy must have an ocean liner. And here's a little news item from her newspaper. A 72-year-old retired Sussex County auto mechanic has been charged with bilking a 94-year-old woman out of several hundred thousand dollars during the past 8 years in a scheme to continuously fix her car but never finish the job.
Oh.
Elwood Baldwin of Newton had been fraudulently collecting $963 a week from the victim, who's a resident of Andover Township, for supposedly, get this, supposedly fixing her 1973 Plymouth Valiant.
Well, they do need a lot of repairs.
Evidently, the woman had an automobile accident, and she brings it to this guy, and for 8 years, he sends her a bill for $963 and says, no, it's not quite ready yet. And she pays him.
Well, she may be on the easy payment plan.
Isn't that, jeez, that's $50,000 a year.
How did he get caught?
You want to know?
Yeah, well, of course. Do I want to know?
The woman lives, it says the woman lives alone, and the scheme was uncovered when a distant relative,
those damn distant relatives,
contacted the police with a problem regarding what he thought were car payments. He thought she was making car payments. Then he finds out she's got a 1973 Plymouth. And she's paying $4,000.
She could have been driving
a
Maserati for $963.
The thing only cost $4,000 in 1973.
Oh, boy.
So if you could find one customer like that, man, you'd be on Easy Street. Or in jail. I loved it.
Jeez.
I think it's great.
See, he got greedy.
Yeah.
He didn't know when to stop. At some point, he should have said, your car's all set.
Yeah, he probably sold a car.
What car?
Car? What car? I'm not in business with cars.
Hey, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, the Puzzler is on vacation this week.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself in desperate need of puzzlement, unlike my brother, if we got a deal for you, just head on over to cartalk.com and you'll find the Puzzler that we've selected from the archives. One of those oldie but smelly ones. And remember, even if you have seen it before, what are the chances you'll remember the answer? I mean, we can't even remember the answer.
The answer's probably wrong anyway.
Well, you can always send in a letter of rebuttal. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car or anything else in the universe. Mm-hmm. Quarks.
You know what I've been subscribing
to? What have you been reading?
Someone subscribed me to the Pons and Fleischmann newsletter. That stuff is happening.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, stuff is happening.
Is there a... Yeah, are there things about teleportation in there? Have they asked you for money?
Of course.
How much a week?
960.
There you go. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. There's more than one sucker born every day. Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Who's this?
This is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie.
Hi. Now, you sound like an upbeat, happy individual.
Well, I try to be.
I can tell.
See, already she's got that smile in her voice.
That's good.
How'd you do
that? So you're single, huh?
No.
Where are you from, Jamie?
From Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay. I mean, who couldn't love those Packers, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to love them.
You got to love them.
Yeah.
You got to love them. Anyone that can wear a cheese thing on his head is going to be all right with me. you wear one of those cheese things?
I've gotten some for friends out of state, but I myself don't own one, though.
No, good for you. Anyway, what's going on?
We have a 95 Windstar, Ford Windstar, and it's creaking in the front when you turn the steering wheel.
Who's we?
My husband and I.
How many kids have you got?
None.
And you got a Windstar?
I know.
What are you trying to do? Join AARP?
No.
Trying to sneak in? Make them think you're 65 years old?
No. We go camping and do all kinds of stuff. We haul all kinds of stuff around in it.
All right.
Besides, it's cute.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
She's from Green Bay, don't forget.
Yeah. I hate to see her husband.
Hey.
Sorry, Jamie. It slipped out. All right, so it's creaking.
Yeah.
Under what circumstances, again, does it creak?
Every time you turn the steering wheel.
Is it worse if you're sitting still?
Yes. And also, if this will help you at all, we took it to the dealer. There was a recall on something else, and while we had it there, we said, what do you think it is?
Uh-huh.
And they suggested tie rods.
Well, it could be a tie rod end.
Right.
Well, my first recommendation, of course, would be the fuel pump relay. But if it isn't that, then it could easily be a tie rod end or a ball joint. And these tie rods on this vehicle, if I'm not mistaken, cannot be lubricated.
Okay.
And neither can the ball joints.
But it definitely sounds like it's coming from underneath the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happens is once the grease escapes, or if there wasn't enough grease put in at the factory, eventually water gets in there and rusting takes place, and that little ball and socket joint that's either the tie rod or the ball joint
will begin to go the same.
Yeah,
and that's not good.
The dealer couldn't find it?
They couldn't do anything?
Well, we didn't have them mess with it. We took it to a mechanic who we trust. He replaced the right tie rod end. It didn't help at all, but he said while he had it up on the lift, he'd turn the steering wheel, and he didn't hear anything at all.
Well, you wouldn't hear it on the lift because
he
took the load off the suspension.
Right. Okay.
What he's going to do is put it on the ground.
Crawl underneath.
With his stethoscope. And he can put that on the ball joints, and this thing has inner tie rod ends, too. And I'm sure he replaced an outer. And he can have you turn the wheel and reproduce the noise, and he's going to, in 2 minutes, he's going to figure out exactly where it's coming from. And when he gets the spot that's making the noise, it'll be so loud, there'll be no mistaking where the noise is coming from.
Or he can use the time-honored mechanics principle of replace
everything.
He did replace the tie rod end.
Yeah,
not
enough.
That hardly qualifies as everything. Yeah. This guy's way too honest.
Yeah.
So after that, he said, well, it must be in the rack, and there's nothing I can do for it, and you have to wait till it gets really, really bad.
I don't think it's in the rack.
You don't think it's in the rack?
Hey.
No. Neither one of us thinks it's in the rack.
Racks don't make a noise like that. But okay. Ball joints and tie rod ends do.
Okay, so it could be inner or outer tie rod end or ball joint.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, good luck.
And don't let this go.
Okay.
It's sort of important.
Take it seriously.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. You know what we just did there? We actually gave a caller a semi-useful piece of information.
It just slipped past me. I didn't even realize that until you mentioned, you know what we just did? And it struck me.
Dougie, call UPI. call everybody. Call our parents.
Call NPR.
We won't let that happen again. If you'd like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Marion, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Marion.
Marion with an A or an O?
A.
Marion.
Yes.
M-A-R-I-O-N.
A-N.
A-N. I just asked you, with an O or an A?
Well, the A was in the front, Marion.
No, that would have been Morion, like moron. God. It's across the bear. It really is. Where are you from, Marion?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland.
Now, tell us the truth about it. Everyone makes fun of Cleveland. What's the story? I mean, all we know is that the river caught fire, but that happened 20 years ago, right? And Cleveland might be a magnificent, beautiful place now, and no one knows about it but you.
Well, you're asking the wrong person, because I just moved here from Los Angeles 2 years ago, and I thought it was coming to a nice city, but, you know.
You don't have any great things to say, huh?
Oh.
Boy, I got a raft of nasty mail. Remember the couple of weeks ago I was reporting, simply reporting. I was not offering my opinion on the matter. I reported that someone, when I was standing in the...
Yeah, but it's the amens that do it after the report.
No, I was standing in the Newark train station waiting for Amtrak's three-hour late train to show up, and a guy who was born and grew up in Newark was complaining to me how he had moved out 10 years ago because he was mugged every night for 5 days, and he was running out of wallets. And I just mentioned it. And I got a raft of nasty mail from citizens of Newark saying Newark is a wonderful place. I never said that it wasn't a wonderful place.
And if you don't retract your statement, I'm going to come here and lay a beating on you and steal your wallet.
I'll retract my statement about Cleveland. It is a pretty nice place.
Yeah. It's
nice. It's quiet, and it's really different from Los Angeles.
It's
which
boring,
there ain't
huh?
much happening, huh?
But that's my problem is Cleveland. And so, like, I have a 93 Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
And I moved here 2 years ago, and now my Ranger feels every bump in the road. I mean, it's like the worst drive you ever had in a car.
Yeah.
So I saw a commercial on TV, get your shocks replaced and you'll have a smooth ride, and I got my back shocks replaced and nothing's changed.
Well, understandably, the roads in Cleveland are worse than those in L.A. because of the snow that Cleveland gets.
When I hit a bump, sometimes it is a pickup, and it doesn't have the back end full, right?
Right.
So sometimes it'll jump over.
Well, sure. No, all pickups will do that, especially if...
You have too much air in the tires.
Exactly, and that's your problem.
Hmm.
And these guys at the shock shop maybe replaced your shocks even though you didn't need them. Mm. You know, did they offer to check them, or you just went in and said, I need new shocks?
Yeah.
You did that, huh?
Yeah, I did that. That was pretty dumb, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not as bad as moving to Cleveland. But...
Yeah, you have two strikes now. I mean, you're on the hairy edge here, Mary.
Yeah.
So... But I'm coming to Boston. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, is the thing okay on the highway?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, I would guess you have way too much air in your rear tires, or maybe even your front tires, too.
Hmm.
So I would check that because it's dangerous.
Hmm.
Go someplace and go to a gas station and check it out. Hmm. And don't rely on the thing at the gas station that you crank up, you know, the thing that goes ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
You need to have someone check it with a bona fide tire pressure gauge.
See if you can find a gas station that doesn't just sell burritos. That has actually like a mechanic in it that will come out with his own.
We sell all kinds of gas.
Yeah, right. And have someone check it. It would be nice. And if the guy's got 5 minutes, and he could check out your front end and your suspension in general. That would be nice, too.
Oh, well, great. Well, thanks a lot.
See you, Marion.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She wasn't exactly a proponent of Cleveland. She wasn't on the Chamber
of
Commerce.
No, she won't be on the brochure, right?
Marion moved here from L.A. She thinks it's boring.
Her
truck is giving her trouble.
Well, you got to admit, I mean, after living in L.A., almost any place would be boring, wouldn't it? I mean, L.A. is like hopping. Sunshine. Earthquakes. I mean, think of all the things it has going for it. Floods, you know, mudslides, you know, fire, wildfires.
Smog.
I mean, there's stuff going on there, man. There's stuff going on. Looting, riots. I mean, you name it, L.A.'s got it. Come to Cleveland, it's like, you know,
yeah,
too predictable. So that's what she misses. You know what she needs? She needs her truck stolen. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on
CAR-TALK.
How come
no Chambers of Commerce ask us to do ads for them?
Yeah, okay. Hello, you're on CAR-TALK.
Hello, this is Ted, and I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
How do you like Minneapolis?
I love Minneapolis. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to live.
It is.
Yes, it's a well-kept secret.
Well, you know what? It's not really a well-kept secret. It may be a wonderful place to live if you're an Eskimo.
Well, if you're from, what can you say if you're from Boston? It's the same thing out there, just more, just crowdeder, isn't it?
Oh, Boston.
Yes, I did just say crowdeder.
Boston is kind of interesting.
That's a Minnesota word, isn't it?
Crowdeder.
It's crowdeder. That's how we all talk.
Well, my dear friend Les Block moved from Boston to Minneapolis many, many moons ago, and he's still there. And he ain't that stupid, so it can't be that bad.
There's your proof.
Yeah. Well, maybe he is that stupid.
Yeah, I have my doubts about him. So what's shaking, Ted?
What's shaking? My basic question is, what's the deal with synthetic oil? I got my oil changed a while back this spring, and I have a pretty long commute, so the 3,000 miles tends to come pretty quickly, so I often push it up to 4. And I got my oil changed, and the guy was pushing pretty hard on this synthetic oil because you could go, I don't know, many, many miles without getting your oil changed.
Yeah, like 20 maybe.
Well,
15
yeah. So anyway, I bought into it and was the big sucker. And got the synthetic oil, and after about 3,500 to 4,000 miles, I started checking my oil, and it was just black. And I don't know, I wasn't too comfortable with the oil that dirty. So the next time I had the car in for some other unrelated problem, and I just had him check the oil, or I had him change the oil. And at that point, I would talk to the mechanic at the garage, which is a separate place, and he had said, you know, he just suggested the traditional way, you know, normal oil every 3,000 miles, and that's what he does with his cars. And I guess my question is, you know, what's right? Is this a big ripoff? Or?
What kind of a car have you got?
Saturn SL.
Well, the first thing is you were being way, way too conservative in this 3,000-mile thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we backed off on that 20 years ago.
Right.
And we've gone to either 10,000 or never.
Okay.
No, we've gone to 5,000 miles. We've been recommending 5,000, but in cases where you do all highway driving, you could easily go to the manufacturer's recommendation, I think, of 7,500 for this car.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, I would do that.
Natural oil,
okay.
And with the synthetic, you could probably go to at least double that. I mean, the fact that it was all black is good.
Oh, okay.
It means it's doing its job. It's cleaning the engine. That black is all dirt that the oil is holding in suspension. That's what you want.
And what do you use in your cars?
I don't change my oil. No, we use natural oil.
I use Castrol.
I use Castrol as well.
I use Castrol 2050. Because it stopped from burning oil.
And it's a good hair dressing, too.
Yeah, after you clean off the dipstick, you rub it in your hair.
I would stick with the oil you've been using and just increase the interval.
All right.
See you, Ted.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
He's more bewildered.
He doesn't know what to do.
No.
What do you figure he's going to do?
Call someone else. Hey, it's time for us to take a short break. You know that?
Yeah, I hope I have time to jot down my highlights from this week's show so far. You know, from my memoirs.
Okay, and then what are you going to do with the other 59 seconds?
We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute.
Cover the outside, but I kinda like.
And even though the NPR electrician makes a mental note to leave some wiring exposed in our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the no new puzzler.
Mm.
Yes, right indeed. The puzzler is taking its annual summer hiatus, and if you can't go another week without a puzzler, aside from getting a life, we'd recommend you head over to cartalk.com and check out this week's arch rival puzzler. Or is it archival?
Arch rival. And if you happen to have a puzzler that you think my brother can use in the fall, I'm sure he would love to hear from you.
Oh, just send it to me at Car Talk Plaza.
Less than lousy puzzler division.
It doesn't even have to be lousy. doesn't even have to be that good.
Better than lousy.
Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or email me your puzzler suggestion from cartalk.com.
Cool.
If you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sharon from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi, Sharon. Hey. We haven't had a call from Texas for a long time.
Oh, well, I used to live up there.
Well, we won't tell anyone.
Okay.
So what's going on?
Well, I have a 94 Mazda B3000 pickup.
Yeah.
That we just replaced all the clutch mechanism to. The clutch, the throwout bearing, and the pressure plate because I couldn't shift.
Okay.
So I drove it for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden I couldn't shift again. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've burned this thing up in 2 weeks. And my husband said, no, don't worry about it. It's the hydraulic clutch fluid cylinder, the reservoir, okay?
Yes.
And it was dry. So I put the brake fluid in, that's what you use, .3, and pumped it up. And now it's driving okay, but it still is leaking out. So I called a Mazda dealer, the service department at Mazda. And he said, actually, you have two of those. There's an upper one and a lower one.
No, there's a slave cylinder and a master cylinder.
Okay.
We don't like that terminology, but that's what it is.
Yes, politically incorrect. there's a predominant and a subservient.
Okay. So one of those is leaking. I think the bottom one is leaking.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, can I just go ahead and keep driving and just keep filling it up, and it won't hurt it if it just keeps leaking out as long as I...
No, but eventually it'll start leaking out so fast that you'll have to have your arm out the window with the can.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's a drag, you know.
Yeah. And I guess the other question that comes to mind is it doing now what it did before you spent the $500 for the clutch?
Well, it was $200 because they put it in. Yes, it is. And I've been thinking that going, well, but
well,
it was worn. He looked at the parts when they took them out and... it was my husband and my brother-in-law that did it.
And they were worn. Those knuckleheads.
So they did
this in the driveway.
So you couldn't shift, and they said, well, she needs a clutch. And,
well, he drove it. He drove it, too.
And what was happening when you say you couldn't shift? If you put your foot, the engine's running.
The engine's running.
You put
running,
your foot on the clutch.
And it would grind.
And it wouldn't go out of neutral in any direction.
Yeah, I know.
Just grind.
You needed a clutch master cylinder. And you still need one.
I still need one.
Let's not. I mean, those guys spent a good weekend.
Day and a
nice
half.
Saturday afternoon.
And they probably smashed their fingers.
They got all kinds of injuries, exactly.
They
probably ruined $300 worth of clothes.
A small fire.
They probably had a small fire. They had to go out and buy at least $1,000 worth of equipment.
And tools.
They did have the tools.
We're not even going to suggest that what they did was unnecessary. We're just going to say that you do need a slave cylinder, just like you did last week.
And a master cylinder, too, perhaps.
Probably both of them?
I would do both.
Do both.
Why not?
They should have, never mind. See you, Sharon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Paul from Bartow, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Paul. From where, Pennsylvania?
Bartow. It's a large rural route about 15 miles south of Allentown, 45 miles northwest of Philadelphia.
Got it.
A lot of loving and gentle people in the rural route.
And you're among them.
Yes, very much.
You sound like a loving and gentle person.
Is it possible that I would have driven through Bartow if I was going to York, Pennsylvania?
You might have, yes. It's, you know,
I feel lost
to Pottstown.
Sort of around there, eh? I think I did drive through Bartow one time.
You may have even bumped into Paul.
I may have.
Could well be.
Could well
be.
Are
you about 5'10",
no,
brownish hair?
6 foot even.
Yeah, no, it's a different Paul. Okay. So what's in your mind, Paul?
Well, I know you fellows are experts on cars, but are you as good on trucks and cattle trailers?
Cattle trailers, yes. Trucks, no.
Cattle trailers is one of our specialties.
Okay.
I just finished a seminar, as a matter of fact, on cattle trailers. So I'm right up on...
Right. Cattle trailers you know and love. So we're ready. Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a cattle trailer that holds about 7 or 8 cows, and it has electric brakes, and we pull it with a pickup. And one of the problems, or repeated problems, with the brakes is that... Sometimes they grab, other times they don't connect. We've taken it to the garage several times, and they fix it, but yet they don't fix it.
Yeah.
These brakes are operated by a servo that's attached to your brake pedal.
Right. It's electric attached to the brake pedal.
Right.
And the latest problem is when you put on the four-way flashers.
The
brakes engage every time the light flashes.
Excellent.
And that becomes a real problem when you're going up a hill and have to put on the flashers at 40 miles an hour. It seems to slow you down a good bit when you're climbing the hill.
Okay. Right, because the brakes are grabbing, releasing.
Correct.
I'm sure that we can help you with this if you answer just one small question
for me. Okay, great.
How do electric brakes work?
My impression is that our garage doesn't know either.
Well, I can honestly say, and you know me, I'm an honest guy, I have never seen electric brakes in my life.
I don't know how electric brakes work either in actuality.
But let's guess. That's how we do with the other stuff.
We know that they have to work like regular brakes, and they must push a shoe against a drum of some
kind.
And they're operated by a motor of some kind.
Is a motor like in the wheel?
Yeah.
I mean, it could also operate...
Motor in the trailer or in the truck?
No, in the trailer.
In the trailer.
I don't know how
you
they
figure
work.
They're hydraulic?
No, they're not hydraulic. They're electromechanical.
So what's in the wheel instead of a cylinder? A little electric motor?
A screw.
A screw.
It's irrelevant how they work.
It doesn't matter. Ah, excellent. We're going to give them an answer without knowing how they work.
Right.
Okay, Paul, this is going to be good. Get a pencil.
Okay, I got it.
I can hardly wait to hear this.
I'll pass it on to our friendly garage.
Well, no, I mean, the key issue here is that the emergency flashes are turning on the brakes.
Correct.
Somehow or another, current is getting fed to those brakes when the flashes are on, so it seems pretty clear that you've got a wire crossed. And
that's funny. I thought you had a wire crossed.
And the other problem, and I think where the problem is, perhaps, is in the brake lights. Because in addition to this thing operating the brakes, it also has to turn on the brake lights, which are turned on by your brake lights. Isn't there a wiring harness that's hanging out from the back of your truck?
Surely.
That you plug into?
Right. That's the way it works.
So the problem's in... he's giving me that look. He's giving me that look. It's pretty clear that we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I want to say, though, Paul, it's been awfully nice talking to you.
And you sound like a wonderful, caring... individual. Why can't these cows walk to their destination? I mean, what the hell's wrong with them?
No, because then they'll get too muscular and then
they get skinny.
Oh, yeah, we don't want that to happen.
No.
No exercise for the cows. You don't have Steermasters for steer. Steermasters.
And what are you doing with these cows when you transport them anyway?
Take them to other farmers.
Oh, what are they? Oh, never mind. I don't want to know what they do with them. Milk them. That's right.
That's good. Okay. Paul, we don't have any idea.
No, we don't have the answer. But okay. I do believe that your wiring problem is in the brake light circuit because the emergency flasher bulbs, the emergency flashers are also operating on that same filament.
Right.
And somehow or another, you are getting current fed through the emergency flasher circuit, which is also the brake light circuit.
Right.
Of course, you don't notice the problem occurring when you step in the brakes because the brake lights are getting energized and so are the brakes.
Correct.
But what's happening is you are somehow energizing the brakes. You know what it could be?
What?
It could be something as simple as a bad bulb.
Yeah.
A bad bulb.
Oh. Bulb.
I was working on that.
A brake light bulb.
Okay.
But here's the way to try to figure this out. Take the bulbs out.
Surely.
Of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
The brake light bulbs, and they're probably the same bulbs that operate the four-way flashers. Remove them and see if the problem goes away.
Okay, good idea.
Try that. If that doesn't work, take the cows for a walk.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See you, Paul.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Now, are we just dreaming here? But I had the sense. Paul is the kind of guy you could sit down with and have a cigar and a cup of coffee. He sounded like a wonderful person.
Yeah, you could enjoy milking a cow with Paul.
You could.
Yeah.
I mean, how can a person's voice tell you all that? I'm shocked at all this.
Then again, you're shocked at everything.
Shocked at pretty much everything.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. I'm a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Alice, and I'm calling from Hastings on Hudson, New York.
Hi, Alice.
Hastings on Hudson.
I really don't have a car problem. I have a family squabble problem that's related to cars.
Yeah.
The problem is that I'm very lucky. I have a daughter and her little family living on the other side of town from where we live.
Yeah.
And I like to go to her house. I call it the low road because there's a big hill between my house and her house. And my husband says it's so much longer to go that way, I should just go up and over the hill. Well, I've clocked the distances. The distance from my house to her house on the low road is 2 miles. And if I go up and over the hill, it's 1.5 miles.
Yeah.
And every time I go my way, it's so much longer. And if I go his way, I just feel it's more of a strain on the car, and I use up more gas climbing up this hill. Well, we got the altitude on the hill. I don't know if you need all these numbers.
Yeah.
How long have you been retired, Alice?
How long? I'm not retired yet, but he is.
He is.
Okay. Yeah. I knew one of you had to be retired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Give me the data.
The altitude, I live at 170 feet. My daughter is also at 170 feet high, and the hill between us is at 320.
Yeah.
And I don't know which way we use more gas, and I know which way you use more time, because my way I have to go through a traffic light.
Well, your way is longer, both in distance and in time, but
yeah.
it's shorter in so far as you don't have to climb an unnecessary hill.
Yeah. He says, well, you go on the other side, you go down
there
again.
There you go.
And so whatever you've spent going up, you regain going down. Is he an engineer?
Yes. Doesn't this sound like an engineer?
Of course. It's a classic engineering approach, which is entirely wrong. And is he listening? I hope he's not listening.
Well, actually, he is.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We're going to dump all over him.
That's okay.
Well, I'm not so sure, Alice. So.
I mean... Theoretically, he is exactly, of course, right. Theoretically.
Okay.
That the energy, I mean, if this were, you know, if this were a physics problem when he went to school and he did a physics problem.
Yeah.
And the energy expended going up would be regained almost except for losses from friction and da-da-da-da-da.
Right. Potential energy.
Going down.
Yeah.
A potential energy, kinetic energy, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Would be a great theory. That's assuming that you didn't mind if you were going 85 miles an hour when you hit the bottom of the hill, which you don't. And you do mind, and that's why you have to use the brakes.
Right.
It's the same as if you were walking.
Yeah.
Which way would you walk?
I would walk a long way because it's so much easier.
You ain't kidding. Ask him if he had to walk. Would he walk up over the hill and down?
Well, a better question is, would you bicycle?
Oh, your bicycle, you'd go the long way.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Every time.
There is no formula for how much gas you use going up a hill.
Sure, I mean, we could calculate all of that. But
I doubt we could calculate it. Somebody could calculate it.
Your husband probably could calculate
it. He's got nothing to do. He's retired.
And that's exactly what gets him into trouble. Because he could make all those calculations and the answer would be, so what?
See, what you can't take advantage of, as you pointed out at the beginning of the call, is you can't take advantage of the potential energy that you gain by getting to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Because you must slow down.
You have to brake.
So that being the case, I think I would always opt for the roundabout way, especially considering that the fact that you only are climbing an additional 20 feet in elevation.
Uh-huh.
And it's only costing you 0.5 miles.
Oh, wow. You came in on my side.
We came in on your side completely, but we would always come in against an engineer because they're all bozos.
And we're going to we're going to open a special website just for your call, Alice. Because I know we're going to get like 50,000 emails.
Yeah. Engineers are going to tell us that it's better to go up and then down. And I'll say the same thing to them that I say to you.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
I hope your husband has some other redeeming characteristics.
Oh, he does.
And he probably does.
Yes,
and
try to
cure him of this engineeringness that he has. I mean, he's tell him he's retired now. He can forget all that stuff because most of it is nonsense.
Okay. I'll tell him.
Buy him some golf clubs, Alice. he can plot some trajectories.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very, very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've atomized another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his must-see conquest at the Muscle Shoals, Muscle Beach, Muscles Marinara Mumbo, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Overa. Marge and Overa.
Our customer care representative
is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. The driver of our moving van is Carrie DeSofa. Our mortgage consultant is Nora Lenderby. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iapoca. Our reluctant film editor is Francis Ford Cupholder. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our compassion coordinator is Ophelia Payne. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Chidman, Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the Mark Wahlberg wannabe strutting around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother. Someone told us that we're doing that wrong. It should be don't drive as my brother.
Oh, really?
That could be, but we're not going to do it.
No, too late for that now. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1429, discover classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we answer all of your questions about road trips in the summer.
That's right. What's worse than breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July? Breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July with your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Don't even say it.
So before you head off into the wild asphalt yonder this summer, print out, or better yet, actually read a copy of our summer driving tips. It's got stuff you should do before and during your trip.
Like carry a bus ticket.
For you? Yes. That's Car Talk's complete summer driving tips, posted right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR Boston.
And even though the polar ice cap shrinks another inch whenever we say it, this is NPR.